good to meet you again and welcome to Walking with God. I pray and hope that as you listen to this, you'll be blessed. And we're continuing with our theme of suffering. Allow me to begin with a story. I was in America once, and it was for a residential. I was part of a program, a preaching program. It was really intense. So me and my course mate, another fellow pastor, a Korean pastor, decided to go and watch a movie called Pearl Harbor. But before that, we got the tickets, we were lining up, waiting for the show to start. I decided to call home. I rang, it was about 7 p.m. Local time here in Singapore. No one was home. Thought it strange, it's dinner time. I rang later, at about 8, 9 o'clock. Strange, nobody was home. The kids were much younger then. I rang again at about, 11 o'clock. Strange, no one was home. It was now almost midnight. It was excruciating. So all sorts of thoughts crossed my mind. And then I did something which I've never done while watching a movie in the cinema. The Korean pastor, my friend who was with me, we both bowed and prayed in the middle of that movie. And immediately after the movie ended, we rang. And finally, I heard my wife, Mona's voice. And I asked her, "Darling, are you all right? I've been trying to call you over the last 3-4 hours." And she said, "Yes, of course. It's ladies' night tonight. That's a special gathering of fellowship in our church." And so I went out for coffee. I said, "What happened to the kids?" "The kids have gone off to stay overnight at a friend's house." The lesson I learned in a short and brief way, small way, is that the greatest pain in our suffering, indeed the greatest suffering, is actually silence. The silence of our loved ones. And I want to suggest that this is Job's greatest pain. Job's greatest suffering is not his loss of everything precious to him, his wealth, his family, his health. His greatest pain, and indeed his greatest suffering, was God's silence as he walked through the season of pain. And so Job's solution was not repentance, because as he searched his life, he had nothing to repent of specifically. Job's solution was actually perseverance, just running the marathon of faith, of belief, to simply go the distance and finish the race with his God. And so, just to review, in terms of studying the book of Job, Job chapters 1 and 2 is what we call the prologue. And it focuses on a debate in heaven between God and Satan over the issue, is there anyone who obeys God for who he is, not for what God can give? Chapters 3 to 37, the middle section of Job, is the debate with friends, how his friends can be sincere but sincerely wrong as they embark on counseling or helping Job with what I call a watertight cause and effect theology. You are suffering, Job, and you must have sinned. In doing that, they misdiagnosed his problem, they misapplied the solution, and they misrepresented God, which almost threatened to destroy the faith of the faithful believer, Job. We now arrive at the final portion of Job, the book, in chapters 38 to 52, and this is what we call the epilogue. The epilogue, Job's perseverance is finally rewarded. Has your perseverance in God been rewarded in any way? Job's perseverance in God is rewarded. How? By God finally breaking the silence to speak into the circumstances of Job's life. Allow me to share the first speech. Job 38, verse 1 to verse 7. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, 'Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me, if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set? And who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? Verse 8. Verse 9. When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this far you may come and no further, here is where your proud waves halt. What on earth is happening in these verses in chapter 38? When you read this entire portion to chapter 39, it's about the skies and the sea. It's about the animals, to be specific, 19 pairs of animals. The summary of it is this. God speaks of creation and God speaks of creatures. Are these lessons of astrology and lessons of zoology? No, friends. The lesson that God was bringing across to Job was this. Can you, Job, be the creator of the universe? Anyone who has ever planned anything will acknowledge this. Acknowledge what? You know, I'm told that during World War II, the biggest and last ditch effort to try and destroy Germany, destroy specifically Hitler and the Nazis, was the Allied invasion that landed at Normandy. They had undergone years and months of planning, and just as about to start the invasion, it was stalled, it was delayed. Why? Because of bad weather. It was the same in the Iraq War. After months of preparation by the Allied forces led by America, they were planning to make their way to Baghdad, the capital of Iraq, and just as they were about to launch the invasion, a fierce sandstorm blew up. How fierce was this sandstorm? The tanks, the trucks, and all the most modern of technology got stuck in rain and mud. It was the same with Napoleon when he invaded Russia. The winter killed half of Napoleon's army. There is something greater when you pull the lessons together. There is something greater than all our human planning, all our human technology. We are always at the mercy of the weather. No, friends. When we take time to observe, take time to conclude, and take time to humble ourselves, we are always at the mercy of the person behind the weather, behind the elements, God, the Creator. The lesson of God's first speech to Job was, can you be the Creator? Were you there at creation? And even if you and I were, as mere men, would we have made a difference to creation? And so we end our time and continue our reflection on this. Job's greatest pain in his suffering was not the loss of anything, but actually God's silence. And when God speaks into his life, to Job's life, it all starts to become clearer what he's going through. I pray that you will hold on to this truth, that perhaps the greatest need in this season or moment of suffering that you could possibly be walking through is not simply an end to that suffering, but the beginning of God speaking to you and your willingness and your humility to listen to God's word and listen to God's voice. May God give you this humble heart to listen to Him. We'll carry on with this tomorrow. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But deliver us from the evil one. Your life, oh, yours is the kingdom and the power.